It's time for the one show that looks at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.
Welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. Today we're going to be talking with Rick Itzkowich, otherwise known as the LinkedIn guy, and I'll leave it to you to guess what we're going to be talking about. But before we get to our guest, if you're listening to our podcast, then thanks for visiting our website, The Coaching Perspective. Be sure to check out our archives for other shows with some great guests. Speaking of guests, if you'd like to be on the show, we're always looking for coaches, CEOs, or HR professionals to interview. Just send me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. Well, one other announcement, two other announcements. First, our show next week will feature Dr. Joe Parent, author of Zen Golf. And Dr. Joe will talk about the psychology of performance, and his methods are based on Eastern wisdom and mindful awareness. So don't miss this great show. You don't have to be a golfer. We're going to talk about how to deliver coaching tips without being there. Also, the September 12th meeting for the ICF Orange County chapter is going to feature a panel of coaches talking about unique ways to build your business. On the panel is going to be Dr. Frumi Rachel Barr, who's long been a CEO, coach, confidant, and mentor. The CEO's team likes to call her their corporate shrink and Dr. Y. And Frumi has taken her business to a new level by recently introducing CEO virtual roundtables. And she's going to talk about how that is building her business. Mike Brenhog is also going to be on the panel, author of WTF, which is all about learning how to transform your most frustrating and challenging moments that appear negative into positive winning outcomes, turning your fears into confidence and changing confusion into clarity and focus. He's talking about how to build your business by writing a book. And yours truly rounding out the panel, I'm going to be talking about what else, the use of internet radio to build your business. So check the website for more information. Register for that September 12th meeting. Go to coachesoforangecounty.com. All right, let's get into our guest today. We are pleased to have with us Rick Itzkowich. He is a LinkedIn guy. He's a genuine people connector. He understands and practices networking like few other people do. As a successful entrepreneur, Rick creates turnkey products that meets today's demand for tools to increase your business with social media. His informative and entertaining live presentations, along with articles, interviews, podcasts, blog messages on adding LinkedIn to your company's marketing plan, are in high demand. And locally, he speaks to a diverse group of organizations as a regular SCORE workshop presenter. Internationally, Rick earned the Best Speaker Award at the You Learn Twit Face Conference, International Social Media Conference held in Dubai. And his upcoming speaking engagements takes him back to Dubai with stops in the UK and India. Rick frequently serves as a resource for both online and offline social marketing reporters and blogs. Rick, welcome to The Coaching Perspective.
Thanks, Doug. Glad to be here.
Hey, I'm glad to have you here. Well, look, let's just jump right into this. The LinkedIn guy. How did you become the LinkedIn guy?
Doesn't everybody want to become one when they grow up?
Does it come with a cape and some kind of uniform?
Yeah. Well, it's actually a pretty, you know, interesting story, because it is it just underscores, you know, the power of this new world that we're living in. And so I'll try to make it brief. Back in 2007, 2008, I had a company with a partner, and the company was called Productive Learning and Leisure. It's still around, but at the time, we were partners. I'm no longer a partner there. And we were doing quite well in our business. And then 2007, 2008 hit, and we lost about 90 to 95% of our corporate clients, which were all in the real estate and mortgage-related industries. I don't need to tell you what happened to those industries back in 2007, 2008.
Know what you're talking about.
So needless to say, besides facilitating the seminars, my function in the company was business development. And I realized I was desperate and I had to do something to try to recapture or generate some of the lost revenue. Well, I've always been a person who networks a lot, and I was a member of an organization called BNI, Business Network International. But I realized, you know what, I can't just rely on that. I got to do more. So that's when I was willing to try anything. And one of the things I had had an account for years that I hadn't done much with was LinkedIn. So I figured might as well try this LinkedIn thing, see if I can get something. And mind you, back in 2007, 2008, it wasn't nearly as popular. I believe back then there were about, 20 million people that were on LinkedIn, which by, internet standards is nothing. I went in there, and like most people, I had an account. I had no idea what to do with it. I was totally frustrated. And the only reason I stayed trying to do anything was because I was desperate. And number two, I'm the kind of person who once I get into something, I am not going to walk out of a movie no matter how bad it is. I will finish the book even if it's terrible. And I figure, you know what, there's got to be something in this. Let me figure it out. Otherwise, I would have quit like many people do. And the key point for me when I realized the power of LinkedIn was I was sitting at one of my networking groups meeting. And one of my colleagues asked for an introduction to a particular individual whom I didn't know. Most of the time when I hear those introductions, I don't know him. That's the end of it. But this time, since I was working or trying to get something with LinkedIn, the thought occurred to me, I wonder if this person is on LinkedIn. I wrote the name down. I went back to my office. I did a search, and sure enough, I found them, and I found that they were a second-degree connection, which meant they were connected to someone that I was connected to. I found out who that person was. It was a good friend of mine. I sent him an email, and I said, hey, Mark, I believe from LinkedIn that you're connected to this guy, Brian. If you know them, would you be willing to introduce him to my colleague? Because I believe that they can both benefit from this. Mark says, yes, I know him well. I'll be delighted to do that. He facilitated the introduction, and that resulted in a huge sale for my colleague. And that's when the light bulb went on. It says, oh, my God, this is powerful. So I started telling everybody in my business group, hey, guys, here's what happened. You all need to do LinkedIn. And when I get passionate about something, I get passionate. And I'm telling everybody about this. Before long, I started getting calls from people that says, hey, I hear you're the LinkedIn guy. And I go, what are you talking about? He says, well, my friend says that you know all there is to know about LinkedIn. I go, well, no, but what do you need? And he says, well, I can't make any sense. I don't understand it. Can you help me? I go, well, I'll do what I can. What are you wanting to do? And I started doing that more and more and more frequently to the point where I was spending too much time doing it. It says, I can't do that. So I decided that what I would do is I would record most of the answers to the questions I was getting, which were basically the same questions over and over again. So I recorded them. I did these short videos. And I said, if somebody asked me, says, great, here's the link, watch it. That's fine. One day I get a call from somebody saying, I want to buy your videos. I go, what videos? And says, well, my friend says you have these videos on how to use LinkedIn. And that's when I said, oh, my God, I think I may have a product here. So I started working on that to try to come up with a product. And sure enough, I turned it into a product. And the capper was I got an email at the end. And now we're talking this like 2 years later. In 2010, getting an email from somebody says, how would you like to come speak in Dubai? And I go, and how would you like to buy some land in Florida? And I ignored it, but then this guy was persistent, and somebody called me and said, hey, Rick, this guy called from Dubai and was asking about you. And I'm going, okay. Well, I ended up getting hired to go to Dubai to speak at this social media conference, this You Learn Twitface, which, by the way, I didn't come up with it, with a name. So this was a social media conference, 12 experts in all kinds of different social media. They picked me for LinkedIn. I'm going, wow, that's amazing. So I'm there, and I'm interacting with the other 11 speakers before the conference. And every one of them says to me, Rick, we can't wait for your presentation. And I go, why? And they go, because we don't get how to use LinkedIn. And I'm going, oh, my God, if people who do this in this space don't get it, there's a huge opportunity. Well, sure enough, I was voted the best speaker at the conference. I sold about $30,000 worth of product, and I went, I have an opportunity here, and that's how I became the LinkedIn guy.
And you know what, Rick? That hasn't changed. I mean, ever since I sent out the announcement that you were going to be on the show, I've been getting emails and calls from people saying, hey, I got to hear this one. This sounds great. I've been on LinkedIn, but I don't know how to use it. And I have to admit, I'm sitting here in my office. I've got a LinkedIn account. I've had it for a long time. I've got two or three books on the bookshelf about how to use it. They've not done me any good. Is it as much a mystery today as it was then? What makes it LinkedIn is so intimidating to people?
First of all, it is very, very poorly designed. I mean, the user interface is absolutely horrifying. So it takes, I mean, it's so confusing and it's so daunting. So navigating LinkedIn is very, very difficult. And that's one of the main problems. But number two is people don't understand what LinkedIn can and cannot do. So they think about social media, and most people who want to use social media for business, they talk about content, content, content. That's the buzzword in the social media world. It's all about the content. Content is king. So people think that LinkedIn is about posting interesting content or relevant content. And I tell them that's a piece, but it's a really, that comes way down the future. The three critical success factors on LinkedIn, and content is the third one. The first two are far more important, and that is your profile and your network. So people don't understand what to do with it. People want to equate it to Facebook. They say, well, LinkedIn is Facebook for business. You may have heard that comparison.
Oh, absolutely.
And the fact of the matter is, if you're going to compare LinkedIn to something, compare it to a chamber of commerce. The comparison to a chamber of commerce is much more accurate than the comparison to Facebook. So at the end of the day, what LinkedIn is about, LinkedIn is a platform that is about relationships. And they term it social media because they don't have anywhere else to put it. But it is unlike any other of the platforms. It's unlike Facebook. It's unlike Twitter. It's unlike YouTube. It's unlike any of the platforms out there. And as a business person, it has a niche. Because anybody who's anybody in business today needs to have a LinkedIn presence. I mean, people don't ask you, do you have a LinkedIn account? It says, what's your LinkedIn account? And if you're not, you're going to convey that, A, you either are not current, you don't get it, or you got something to hide. And those are not things that you want to be associated with. So go ahead.
So if I've got a LinkedIn account, what should I have on this LinkedIn account? When somebody asks me for it, what are they looking for? I mean, is this really just my business card posted online?
That's partly. I mean, it definitely is the equivalent of, you know, I've been speaking to colleges lately, and many of the kids that I talk to, when I use this word, they have no idea what I'm talking about. You will, and many of our audience, I'm sure, will, and that's a Rolodex. You remember the Rolodex, don't you?
Yeah, I'm embarrassed to say I still use the term, but I don't have one.
There you go. So what LinkedIn has really become is the 21st century Rolodex. So that's part of it. It's a great way, for instance, when somebody gives me a business card today, first thing I do is I send them an invitation to connect on LinkedIn because I'm going to have all the information in there. And then what I do is I toss away the card. It's far more convenient. I can access it from anywhere, and that's one of the key pieces. And if they ever change anything, they move or whatever it is, as long as they update that, I'm going to have the latest current information on that person. So that's one thing. But more importantly, people are checking you out because a lot of people in this day and age will Google somebody before they do any kind of business with them. They will Google them before they will hire them. They will do all of these things. Well, LinkedIn just has a tremendous amount of information, and you control, if you know how to use LinkedIn, you control everything that shows up on your LinkedIn account, unlike controlling what happens in Google and controlling what happens anywhere. And it has a lot of Google juice. So if you search my name, my LinkedIn account is going to come up probably higher than my website.
Yeah, I think it did.
Which means I control that, and it can add a tremendous amount of credibility for me. And that's one of the key currencies that people need to accumulate on LinkedIn is credibility. So credibility based on my work history, credibility based on the number of recommendations that I'm getting, all of that makes it so that before somebody will even pick up the phone or send me an email to talk to me, they already have a feel and they can already start feeling a lot more comfortable with doing this. Now, so let me give you a real life example of what's going on with me so you can understand the power behind this. Because between you and me, even though I've known that LinkedIn is powerful, The last 2 weeks, I've run into something, I've created something that has even amazed me more than it was, and it's this. I recently was selected by Vistage International to become one of their Vistage facilitators. They're called Vistage Shares here in San Diego, and I'm putting together a group of chief executive officers. And my primary function at this stage of the engagement is to get together the people to have them come in to an event that I'm putting together in November. So, of course, I resorted to my network. And I went out and I started tapping my network to get introductions to local CEOs that might be good fits and good candidates. Well, this week alone, we're on Thursday, so I've received over 62 introductions to local CEOs by using LinkedIn and my network, and I've already booked 12 appointments with them.
Okay, so that's a phenomenal number by any standard, by doing anything. So you've got to tell us how you did that.
Well, what I did is this. And this is something, by the way, that nobody that I know of is doing it. What I did was, remember I told you that you need to have, well, I may not have said this to you, but there's three critical success factors on LinkedIn, which is your profile, your network, and your activities.
You mentioned it.
There are two currencies that you have to accumulate to be successful on LinkedIn. One of them is credibility. The other one is goodwill. So what you need to do to capitalize on LinkedIn is you need to have, it's the equivalent of having a checking account. And before you can write a check, unless you're the government, you have to have money into your account to write a check against it. Well, you have to have goodwill accumulated before you can capitalize on this. All right. So if I've helped you out, if I've, you know, added value to you, the likelihood of me coming to you and saying, hey, Doug, can you help me out is much greater than if you and I just met and we've never done that. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely.
So what I've done is I've been accumulating a lot of goodwill because I'm a connector. I'm constantly connecting people to one another. And as a result of that, there's a lot of people that I've helped out, that a lot of people that are very grateful to me. And I am tapping into that, which is the first step. Okay. I am now cashing in. I'm writing some checks against the deposits I've made of goodwill. I also enjoy a tremendous amount of credibility with a lot of these people, which means they trust me, they trust, you know, how I operate, and they're willing to put themselves out and their reputation out for me because they know that I'm not going to let them down. So this is not a magic pill, and this is not something that tomorrow anybody can do this unless they've done this. My guess is many of the people that are listening to this already enjoy some of these things, so they would be able to start tapping into that. But if you don't have this, this is a key component. Now, as far as the execution of this, it's very simple. To get referrals, you have to make it easy for the people to refer you. And that's a step that a lot of people miss. There's a lot of people who want to help you. There's a lot of people who want to refer you. However, if you don't make it incredibly easy and simple for them to do it, oftentimes they're not going to do it, or they're not going to do it to the extent that they could. And I discovered this the hard way. 2 weeks ago, I was in my business group, the same group that I talked about that I've been in for about 15 years. Obviously, I enjoy a lot of goodwill and a lot of credibility with that group. And right. I asked my people to help me out by introducing me to these people. I made a verbal plea, say, please help me out. Here's what I need. Here's what I'm looking for. Okay. I send them a message to them saying, here's what you can do to send to your people. And guess how many referrals I got?
Zero.
Zero. And I went, there's a huge disconnect here. I know these people want to help me. I know these people, I made it. Where's the disconnect? And I found out that people are just swamped. They're busy. They don't have the time to do a lot of these things. So I said, you know what? Here's what I'm going to try. And I did this, and I did it as an experiment with one of my trusted advisors and say, would you mind if we logged into your account, LinkedIn account together? He says, no, why? He says, because I want to test something out with you. So sure. So we did. I have the parameters of the searches that I'm looking for. I created that. We joined. We went to the account. We did a search. We identified the people that came up with the keywords that I was looking for, which were CEOs, presidents, business owners within a certain company size. And then we went down by one by one. I say, do you know this person? Do you know this person? Do you know this person? Yes, no, no, no. Great. All the people that you know, I created a message that we can send right then and there to them. And we sent the message. They sent the message to that person and to me, copying us both. And we did that. And I started getting between, I mean, the minimum I've gotten has been two. And I just got off the phone with one of my colleagues. She gave me 10 introductions to 10 CEOs.
Wow. When you say you logged in together, does this mean you went to his office, you sat down in front of at his desk?
No, I actually did it virtually. You don't even have to do that. You can do it over the phone. There's some tools you can do. I can connect with you on your computer. I can see your desktop. You can see mine. All right. We log in together, and all of this stuff, these are some of the tools that I have. There's some productivity tools that I have and some technology that it's needed, but they're free or they're very cheap, and once you start using this, you don't even have to be in person.
Okay, very good. So you made it very convenient for your network person to help you out.
I made it incredibly convenient. We did it right then and there. It took 20 minutes to go through the search filters and through do all of this. I already had the messages already written out. All they had to do was just sign the message saying it was okay to do that, and I did everything else.
Now, can you do this on a standard LinkedIn account, or does this require a premium account?
No, you can do this on a standard LinkedIn account. However, some of the parameters you may not be able to get. For instance, when I do a standard LinkedIn account, I cannot get the company size that I'm looking for. If I only wanted companies with 11 and 50 employees, which is my ideal target, I wouldn't be able to slice the data that way, so it takes a little bit longer to go through the people that are either less or more.
Okay.
But yes, this is all because 95% of the people have a free account.
So
something that it can be done on the free.
So what I'm hearing you say is it's not about content. It's not about posting vast amounts of data to get your Google search listing up higher. It is about using the network, your network or the people in your network, their networks, to make connections with people to do business together.
That's exactly right. Well, you and I, it's a perfect example. I reached out to a mutual connection of ours.
Yep.
He introduced us both. Here we are collaborating as a result of that.
Absolutely. Now, let me back up to one thing you said. One thing you said is you have to have credibility and you have to have goodwill. And one of the things you mentioned is you had goodwill because you've been helping people. How do you help people using LinkedIn?
Well, you can help people by providing introductions to other people. You can help people by giving them useful, relevant information. I have helped people a lot by teaching them or sharing some things about LinkedIn.
And how much time are you spending on LinkedIn? That's always the question with social media. How often do I have to do this? How much time commitment is it going to take for me to make this effective?
Well, I will answer this. My clients and the people that I coach, I tell them, you can get results out of LinkedIn if you know what you're doing by spending 15 Actually, no, it's between 45 and 1 hour per week, which can be further chunked down into 10, 15-minute intervals 2-3 times a week. Now, to give you an idea, on Monday, I spent 2.5 hours to generate 24 referrals. Now, if you tell me that you can do something more effectively with your 2.5 hours to get 24 referrals, I want to know what that is.
I think I'd have to say that my comparable statistic would be maybe 2 years to get 24 referrals.
So, And I'm not talking referrals to anybody. I'm talking about these are referrals to 24. And during this 2.5 hours, not only did we identify, I had to meet. My meetings with people were about 20 minutes each. By the time I sent the messages that I sent through LinkedIn and do that. And by the way, out of these 24 messages, introductions that were done on LinkedIn, I've already booked 7 appointments on the phone.
Okay, so one of the things that makes this valuable is who's in your network. Now, I get constant emails or notices from people who say, I want to join your LinkedIn network, and many of them I've never even heard of. They aren't in right. my wheelhouse in terms of in my industry, geographically, or anything else. Should I be letting these people in my network that I don't even know or not? Why are people doing this?
This is probably the most often asked question I get during my talks. It's, should I connect with strangers or not? Okay?
So right. Stranger danger. Back.
What's that?
Stranger danger. That's what they teach little kids.
All right. Stranger danger. I'm not originally from the U.S., so I'm not that familiar, so please forgive me if I didn't quite get that. All right. Stranger danger, is that what it is?
No, it's stranger.
Stranger danger.
Danger.
Yes, you're right. Stranger danger. Well, let's go back to what I said LinkedIn was most comparable to, which is what?
The Chamber of Commerce.
Good, you're paying attention. See, this is a pop quiz. You didn't know you were going to be quizzed on this.
I'm taking notes. Oh, yes. This is great information.
That's wonderful. So it is a Chamber of Commerce. So I'm assuming you have attended events at a Chamber of Commerce in your business life.
Frequently.
Great. Question for you. Would you talk to a stranger at a Chamber of Commerce mixer?
Probably the strangers would be my number one priority of who I was going to talk to, people I haven't met before.
And why would that be your number one priority?
Because I want to get to know what they do. Can I help them? Can they help me?
All right. So a LinkedIn invitation to connect is an invitation from a stranger to start a conversation with you. Why would you treat that any differently?
Oh, boy. You caught me. I'll confess right here. Of all the requests I've gotten from strangers, I have responded yes or no and never took it any further.
Yep.
Never got involved in a conversation, just made
and
it a monologue.
You are in the 95% of the people who do exactly the same thing. They treat an invitation to connect like a monologue.
Yeah, you caught me.
Yep. So I am not saying you should connect with anybody or not connect with anybody. It all depends on your purpose. But I can tell you, and in fact, I will tell you two instances where, thanks to the fact that I connected to a stranger, I generated a lot of goodwill. Okay. The first one was, again, a few years back, one of my BNI colleagues said to me, "Hey, Rick, you know, I know you know a lot of people. One of my clients is writing a children's book. Can you help?" I said, "You know, off the top of my head, I can't remember, but you know what? Let's do this. I'm going to send a message to my LinkedIn connections, to my LinkedIn network, and see who do they know." Well, sure enough, I sent a message to my LinkedIn connections, and I received 13 responses, of which 7 were from people that I've never met but I was connected to, and 2 were exactly what this person needed and wanted. Okay? That would have never happened had we not been connected. And then case study number 2 was about, you know, a year and a half ago, another one of my LinkedIn connections, whom I never met, but we now have interacted, talked on the phone, etc., her son was traveling through India, and 21-year-old boy, and I received a message from this person saying, "Hey, my son got into an accident there in India. They're in a remote city. Does anybody know anybody who might be able to help?" As you can imagine, a parent has a kid in the hospital there. Was a little frantic.
Yep.
Send a message to the people in my LinkedIn network who are in India. It says, "Here's the situation. Anybody can help would be most appreciated." I got a response almost immediately from one of the people in my network. Says, "Hey, Rick, I live about half an hour away from this city. I'll be glad to see what I can do to help." This is someone that I was connected to that we haven't interacted. We didn't have much of a relationship. I hooked this person with my other LinkedIn connector, whose son, who was a parent. The two of them interacted, and this person went out and helped out. Now, what did I gain out of this?
Well, you gained credibility. You gained a new relationship with both people, really, a much deeper relationship.
And I got some a lot of goodwill. Well, the story doesn't end there. I was in India in 2012, and by this point, I already had a relationship with this person who had helped. Well, this person facilitated two additional bookings for me that netted about $15,000 that I would have never gotten had it not been for this.
And we're going to have to cut this interview short. I need to get on my LinkedIn account and get to work. You really are pointing out the fact, and I can say I'm guilty of it because I know most of the people I know are guilty of the same thing. I treat LinkedIn like a phone book. I don't have conversations. I don't send out requests to people. I don't share information. I post once a week and say I got a radio show and Rick's going to be on my radio show, and I let it go at that.
That's because nobody has explained to you the power behind this. And so how are you supposed to do this? It doesn't come with a manual. I mean, in all the books that you're getting on how to do it and whatever it is, it's all about the mechanics. And believe me, a lot of these experts are people who have no clue what I'm talking about in here, but they do know more than you, which makes them an expert.
Right.
But this is something because people are not, they don't understand networking. I do. I've been networking for the last 15 years. I eat it, breathe it, live it. And I understand that you need a face-to-face component, but combining it with something like LinkedIn, and LinkedIn, I mean, the amount of information you can get. I just finished doing a presentation, did a training for a board of directors of a nonprofit. So do you guys realize that you can get volunteers? I mean, there's so much data available to you. You can find the people who are already predisposed to be volunteers and donors who already support philanthropy. And says, what? I go, yes. And I show them and says, oh, my God, I had no idea that you could do that. Just like you're saying, I had no idea that you could do that.
So, again, this is a couple of times you've made a comment that kind of triggered this in my mind. One of the skill sets to use your LinkedIn account accurately, it sounds like, is the ability to define a reasonably good search criteria.
Yes. One of the key tactics that you must master on LinkedIn is the advanced search.
And, you know, I know that in face-to-face networking, if I'm coaching somebody on how to network, I'm going to tell them when you meet somebody new, the first thing you do is you try to find out what can I do to help you? Because if rather than asking them for something, I'm going, what can I do to help you? How do I take that practice and use it on LinkedIn? Give me an example.
Did you and I connect on LinkedIn already or not?
Yeah, I think we did.
All right. Well, then I'm going to ask you to go back and review the fact that we connected, and as soon as either you invited me and I accepted or I invited you and you accepted, I sent you a message right afterwards. And those of you who are listening to this, if you'd like to see, you know, how this works, just go ahead and send me an invitation to connect on LinkedIn, say that you listened to this, and once you do that, you're going to see exactly what I do. I send a message, and the first thing that I say to people is thank you for either accepting or thank you for inviting me. By the way, I'm a firm believer that you must first give before you receive. In that spirit, I'd like to give something to you. And I give something. And what I give is I give the gift of inspiration. I have these things called quote actions. There are little quotes and actions connected to that I make available. They're free. I'm not selling you anything. They're not connected to my business. It's just something that I think you might enjoy. And between you and me, it is totally irrelevant to me whether you accept it or not. It's the fact that I extended myself to you that is going to make a difference in your mind. So we now start a conversation. Now, if you respond to me, which about 20% of the people do, they either thank me or they say, Rick, thank you, but no thank you, or they go, wow, these are great. It doesn't matter. We are now having a conversation. And that's the first step. Now, I connect with, I don't know, probably, you know, 100 to 200 people per week. Obviously, I'm not going to have a relationship with 100 or 200 people per week. So this is a way to let the people who want to have a relationship with me raise their hand, so to speak, by their interactions with me. If they connect with me, if they ask me questions, if they send something to me, I now have an interaction. And you never know where this is going to lead. It may lead to something. It may lead to nothing. It may just be there waiting for an opportunity like the ones that I shared with you are going to happen somewhere down the future.
Great advice. That's something that we all can put to use right away. Thank you for that gift. Let me ask you this. How many people do you have in your network on LinkedIn?
Close to 5,000.
Okay. And if you stay in touch, if you communicate with those people, how can you even begin to stay up with those 5,000 people in 45 minutes to an hour a week?
I don't, and I don't try to. I really don't need to know, you know, what's going on necessarily with them. I mean, it's kind of nice if I want to spend the time, but on my homepage with that many connections, I mean, there's so much stuff that happens consistently. But there's a few tools that you can use on LinkedIn. I can get notified when people change jobs. I can get notified. I mean, there's alerts that you can have on LinkedIn that let you do that. So there's a few things that actually do stand out that when I see something, I hear something, I can actually respond. But more often than not, I don't do that. It's impossible to stay connected with that many people.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't try. But when the time is right, either because they reach out to me or I reach out to them or whatever it is, then, see, the beauty of what I do with this thing, with these quote actions, is that people are hearing from me. It's all through technology. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to spend any time other than that initial message that I send with a link if they wanted to get it or not. But many people hear from me constantly, at the very minimum once a week, and they remember me. So I'm doing that without having to create any content and without to do any activities. So that's one of the strategies that I teach people, is you need to have something like that available to you that will keep your name top of mind so that I will not forget you.
Okay, so let me add to my list here. One of the criteria to be effective here is to know how to use the advanced search criteria.
Yes.
And what I'm writing down is the second one here is to have, I'm going to use the word, it's not the right word, canned messages, but to have sort of formatted messages that I can easily get out there and respond to quickly and on a constant recurring basis. Is that?
And yes. Now, if you are going to have to do this manually every single time to do that, in LinkedIn you cannot automate the process, okay, then it's going to take a lot more time. So you're going to have to find something like this thing. And I'll be glad to share this with all your listeners if they want to use quote actions for them. It's a great service that anybody can use, but it's got to be something that allows you to leverage your time. I'm big on leveraging my time. And because of that, I'm constantly looking for technology and for technology to help me with that. So I'm obsessive with that. So I really have a lot of tools that make this easy. But the idea, but more importantly, Doug, is not that you need to stay top of mind. I mean, that's a bonus if you are. If you help people out consistently, one of the ways that you have good content that's helpful, that allows you to position yourself as an expert in your field, that is great. So some people will do that. The groups are another place where you can actually, it's an advanced feature of LinkedIn, where if you actually do it right, you can position yourself as an expert.
Okay.
To have that. But even if you don't, I mean, that's more of an advanced feature of LinkedIn. Even if you only take what I've given you, which is this, the people that are in your network, the people that you know, and if you've been in business for 5, 10, 20, 30 years, you know a lot of people. A lot of people already know you. You already enjoy a lot of credibility with a lot of these people. If you connect with all of them, you have a treasure trove of people that are waiting for you to either use it to introduce to other people or for them to introduce you to them.
Okay.
And forget about being visible in anything else. I mean, that's kind of like, you know, the icing on the cake.
Yeah. Rick, let me ask you this. A question that was just sent into the radio show was, they want to know, how do they learn how to use the advanced search feature? Is this a button, a tool on LinkedIn that they weren't familiar with?
Yeah, when you do a search, it says advanced. There's a box at the top of your profile. It has, right next to, kind of like a magnifying glass, it says advanced. And you just click on that.
All right. Good. All right.
You can click. And by the way, you know, if anybody, I have a program that I put together that it's, you know, a tutorial that walks you A through Z regarding how to use LinkedIn, both from the mechanics, from the strategic and the tactical, that is, you know, very effective. So if anybody wants to reach out to me and, you know, find out more about that, I'll be glad to share that with them.
Okay. So let's take this opportunity to do a couple of things. One is, you've mentioned a couple of times for people to get a hold of you. How do they get a hold of you on LinkedIn? What do they put in?
They just do a search for my name and I'll spell it. And if you're going to put notes or something in there, it'll be spelled. But it's Rick, and the last name is Itzkowicz. That's I as in India, T as in Tom, Z as in zebra, K-O-W-I-C as in Charlie, H as in hotel. So Itzkowicz. There's only one Rick Itzkowicz, so you won't have to worry. That's one of the advantages of having a wrong name. And just once they do that, and they should, when they send me an invitation to connect, you get many choices, and some of the choices are not, none of them fit. Just select that you've done business with me, and then you will not have to enter my email address.
Okay.
And by the way, the selection, the options of how we have done business is going to be based on all your companies, not mine. So just select one of them. It doesn't matter which one. And then just make sure that you make a mess in the box. Instead of using the default, which is one of the mistakes that people use, they use that default invitation. At the very least, put my name in it. And then say, hey, Rick, I listened to the show with Doug. Let's connect. Or something like that.
Perfect. Okay. So the other thing I want to ask you, you've mentioned some products, things you have for sale, things that are going to help people. Let's take an opportunity. Tell us about it, and how do we acquire those?
Let's see. If you go to my website, which is my name, rickitzkowicz.com, you will see some links to something called Link Power Coaching Program. And you can also see something called on Quote Action, so you'll be able to do that. Or if you connect with me on LinkedIn and then tell me that, you know, I can share, send you some other links as well to more specific products, because I have, you know, several of them. But my website would be a good place to start.
Okay, perfect. All right. Well, look, as we could go on for hours, and I would be fascinated, the audience would be fascinated, but the producer would kick me off the air. So
yeah, that's right.
Let me, as we're kind of wrapping this up right now, is there anything else that you wanted to share with the audience that you haven't had a chance to say yet?
Let's see. Yes, I will leave this by saying, another aspect of LinkedIn that I haven't really emphasized, but it's really effective if you think of it this term. If you use LinkedIn for the benefit of your network, forget about what it's going to do for you. You see, all of us know people who either need jobs or are going to need a job. All of us know people who are either hiring people or are going to need to hire people. Okay? All of us need people that need something. So LinkedIn makes it so much easier to find the professionals who can do that. If you focus on building a network that is really strong, and one of the things that I love about adding people to my network, see, Doug, when you became part of my network became much more valuable because you have some skills, expertise, and connections that were not there before, and vice versa. So this is an asset. And what you're building is you're building an asset if you treat it right. Now, if you build the connections and you start vomiting on people, that's the term, forgive me, but that's the term that I use, when people start doing that and they start selling them everything and buy this and do this and that's all you do, you're going to erode your credibility, and that's an asset that you're going to waste. But if you use it and you use it judiciously and you use it primarily to help others with what they're looking for, this can become one of the most powerful assets that you'll ever build in your business career.
Okay. Let me give you a specific example before we wrap up here. Let's say I've got a client, architectural firm. They're looking, having a hard time finding new architects to hire. Now, if I go on LinkedIn and I send something out to everybody that I know on LinkedIn, there's a lot of people that have no knowledge of architects, aren't in that kind of business, might feel like I'm infringing on their privacy.
That is probably true, and I would discourage you from doing that.
Okay, so I would guess that you would tell me, do a search, Doug, through your own network for people that are in the related fields and send it to them.
That's correct. You can do a search for architects that are your first-degree connections, and then send it to them. Or second-degree connections, that I see that you're connected to such and such person who is an architect. And now it becomes a little more relevant.
All right, good. Rick, this has been fascinating. Thank you very much for being on the show today. And let me just share with the audience that as many connections as Rick has, as busy as he is, I have to say that from the first time I tried to connect with him to us actually setting up the interview on the show, he was the most responsive person I've ever dealt with, and I know he's one of the busiest. So, Rick, you really have found out how to use your network and how to I'm going to say, monetize your network in a way that benefits you and benefits the rest of us. Thank you very much.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you. That is one of the things that I really take pride on is I'm very responsive. And recently, I really have not reached a point where I have found that I'm at my limit. I have what they call entrepreneurial seizures, and I'm constantly coming up with more ideas than I know what to do. But I am now on a limit and on a diet because I really am at my limit in terms of what I can take in terms of new projects. And how I found that out is I am not being nearly as responsive as I would like to be, which is I'd like to respond to all my emails and to all my calls within 24 hours. And lately haven't been able to do that because that's it. I can no longer keep doing that. So it is something that I take a lot of pride on.
Well, you're doing great at it. Rick, thank you very much for being with us. Welcome to the Coaching Perspective radio community, and I look forward to talking to you again, and I look forward to having you back on the show again in the future.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Great. Have a great evening.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Whoa, I have to catch my breath here. We've been listening to Rick Itkowitz, the LinkedIn guy, and I'll tell you, this was like a fire hose feeding me information, and I'm trying to take it in through a straw. Wow. I wish I could just capture him for a whole day. This is a show that I know I'm going to go back and listen to the file when we post it next week because I know I didn't get all of it as fast as I was trying to take notes. So it was a great show. If you tuned in late, you missed it, but we'll have it on Podbean. We'll have it on the Coaching Perspective site. Maybe even on OC Talk Radio, you can track us down somewhere. So be sure to do that. Be sure to tune in next week when we listen to Dr. Joe Parent, who's author of the book Zen Golf, who is going to talk about coaching and coaching in the sense of mindful awareness. I'm really fascinated with the early conversations I've had with Joe, and I think he's going to be a guest that has a lot of, if not new, a lot of information with a different perspective than maybe we've heard before. So I think it's going to be good to us. Be sure to mark on your calendar the September 12th ICF Orange County meeting. It is going to be an interesting meeting. And if you're in the coaching profession and you're looking at how to build your business, this program is really geared to you. Whether you're new or whether you've been in it a long time, the information is going to give you some insights to different ways to build and grow your business. We're on the air every Thursday, 4 p.m., right here on octalkradio.net. And while I'm saying octalkradio.net, if you missed us last week, I had the privilege of interviewing our producer, Paul Roberts. That show is now posted on our website and on gefeller.podbeam.com. And be sure to listen to it. It's a great tutorial on how to use Internet radio. Paul did an excellent job of really sort of setting the stage and walking us through it, and very entertaining at the same time. So be sure to check our archives or go to our website and look at that show. It's sitting there for you, waiting for you to take advantage of it. So that's it. This is Doug Gefeller signing off. I hope you've enjoyed the show today. Hope the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information about LinkedIn and how you can use it immediately to achieve and identify your goals. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the only show that takes a look at business from a slightly different perspective, the Coaching Perspective, with your host and guide, Doug Gefeller.